Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Yes, here I come. Woo! Who saw me in the car park? Those of you who didn't, it's your fault. It's your fault. Hey, it was so fun, wasn't it, Paulina? Was it fun in the high heels? Not too bad. Next time you bring sneakers. Thanks, Daniela. Hey, what? You need your gloves, honey. You know what was funny? Sorry, not honey. You know what was really funny? 9 o'clock, there was no rain. I get up here, brag about sunshine. Get out there after the 9 o'clock, it's raining. I'm like, Jesus, this is not our agreement. No rain when I do car park. That is for sure. Anyway, welcome to church. Welcome to the building, everyone. I'm excited to see you. It was exciting seeing you driving in your cars. Just you know that this is a special bunch that comes to 11, yeah? So we have something special for you, and we won't be able to help you all. But when you come and you see the guys here in the front of the church, just flash your lights, wave at them, because that'll identify that you're here for church. And you might even be able to just park around the corner, right behind here. So anybody going to take that up? I see that hand, two hands, three hands. The rest of you, you can park far. That's okay. You can walk. Not a problem. We're just loving you a little. But no, seriously, just because the transition between the first service, second service, and bounce is just woo-wee. So just flash your lights, even when you go down to the bottom, just flash your lights to the car park attendants that are all in their high-vis vest. You cannot miss them, and they will know that you are here for church and show you to the parking. Amen? Great. I heard we had a great men's group, a men's event on Friday as well. Well done to all of you who went there. Apparently, there was a big feed and a lot of happy men afterwards, so that's exciting. And what else was there? Car park attendants. There was something else. The blankets. 100 blankets. Come on, we can do that, yeah? Easy done. We've already got our blanket. We may have two. Don't tell Paulina in the back of my car. She'll check the statements and go, ooh, what did you buy here? Two blankets, honey, two blankets. Anyway, amen. We've been busy talking about making disciples. We've been talking about discipleship. We've been talking about, for the past 4 weeks, and last week we had DTN, all those kind of things regarding discipleship. And it's really been a powerful journey that we've been on regarding discipleship. A reminder to us all, though, is that discipleship is not just about talking, being a program or attending a classroom and being taught. We're talking about discipleship being a way of life. Say way of life. You guys are more interactive than the first service. A disciple is also someone who doesn't just believe, but actively chooses to walk daily with Jesus. Actively chooses. It's a choice to walk with Jesus, allowing his word, his spirit, and even his example to shape our lives. You see, discipleship simply means following Jesus. That's what it means. We week one, we spoke about that. It's following Jesus, learning to live like him, learning to love like him, learning to be like him. So in week one of June, we did a series, we called it Called to Follow. We are all called to follow. We do have the podcast up. You're more than welcome to go and listen to the podcast. I'd actually encourage you, if you weren't around, go and listen to the podcast. Get an overall view of what discipleship is all about. Week two was Pentecost Sunday. We spoke about being empowered to follow. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. Holy Spirit is with us. He is our helper at all times. And then in week three, we spoke about the doozy. It was the cost to follow. That was a big, difficult conversation. But we did it. We had it. But it was a good conversation to have. And we've got to realize as believers that there is a cost to follow Jesus. And there's a price that we need to pay. We all need to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. And then last week we had DTN, and DTN is Disciple the Nations, because discipleship is not just about us, it's also about those beyond. So if you have not yet filled out your card, your pledge card, please make sure you do that and pop it into our giving that comes around on the weekend. And if you want to know more, you visiting us, you want to know more about what is Disciple the Nations, is go and pick up one of these. They're on the front, the info hub, the big counter out the front there. You can get one of them as well. But this week, everybody say this week. This week, we are talking about something different. You see, because Jesus didn't say, go and make converts. He said, go and make. All right, he said, go and make. I need everybody. Go and make. That's better. That means you have a responsibility. Yay. Everybody say, yay, no. Another one. Yep. Another one. This is the most important one that you do actually have, is to make disciples. You have a responsibility because you have not been saved to just sit. You've been saved to be sent. You were not saved to just believe and attend church on a Sunday. You were saved to reproduce yourself. I'm not talking about having babies. That's also included in all of that. I'm talking about reproducing yourself, making disciples, and we're going to unpack that a little bit. You see, because we've all been called to help others. All of us, every single one of you, if you've put your hand up and you are a disciple, you are a follower of Jesus, you are one who believes in Jesus, you've given your heart to Jesus, you've basically been called to help others. Know Jesus, follow Jesus, and become more like Jesus. So today, we're going to look at making disciples. That's the title of my message, called to make disciples. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of being your children. Holy Spirit, help us to hear today. Help us not only to hear, but to accept that we have a responsibility, and reveal to us that responsibility so that we can run and be your disciples, but also make disciples who make disciples, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Our scripture, grab your Bibles. I encourage you to bring your physical Bible along because we are disciples of the Word. And there's going to be times that I'm going to tell you to underline words and bold and italics words. So it's important to have our Bibles. But our reading today is Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And it is referred to as the Great Commission. And you'll understand why as we read through it. It says, then Jesus came to them, being the disciples, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Everybody say go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here is again the comfort that we all need. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We learned about this in week 3. Holy Spirit is with us at all times. He goes where we go. He is our helper. This is Jesus saying to them, I will be with you through Holy Spirit until the very end of the age. All these words that are highlighted, all these words that are bolded and are underlined, if you take note, they are active words. They are doing words. They're not passive sitting words. If you don't do them, this is my question. If you don't do it and I don't do it, who will do it? Who will make disciples? Who will baptize them? Who will teach them to obey everything that Jesus has taught you to obey if you don't do it? It cannot be just the pastors, because there's not so many pastors, but there are millions of disciples. Poo, that's a word. There are millions of disciples across the globe. You see, there's not that many pastors. And this is not just a motivational speech from Jesus. This is not just a church vision that's stuck up on a wall. This is actually Jesus' final charge, his great commission, his command, his sending from God himself to every single believer that puts their hand up and accepts him and believes in him and has the right to be called a child of God. It's a command. So why do we make disciples? This is the first question we ask ourselves. The answer is very, very simple. The answer is because Jesus commanded it. Full stop. Jesus commanded it. That's why we make it. If God himself commanded it, then it is not optional. It's not optional. He said so. And one of our core values at Pneuma is making disciples is not optional. That's one of our core values here. But I don't think we've really gone and worked on it, on how we make disciples. And so this is why we are focusing so much on it. If you think about it, you can see that making disciples actually is the obedience. It's what obedience looks like for followers of Jesus. It is the obedience of followers of Jesus. For sons and daughters, this is their obedience. So here's a question that I ask very humbly and with a lot of love is, if you are not making disciples, are you yet fully following Jesus? It's a tough one, I know. Because Matthew 14, 19 says, come follow me. This is Jesus. That's the scripture up there. And I will send you out to fish for people. So right from the very moment Jesus calls someone to follow him, he also includes the call to reach out to others. Right from the get-go. It was not an afterthought. It was the thought. It was part of the original plan. If you go and read Genesis, he says in Genesis, God says, let's make man to our image. And then he says to man, he says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. That is the same as make disciples that make disciples that make disciples that make disciples and subdue the earth. In other words, take the light that you have, take it into the darkness. Take back what the enemy has stolen. That's why we've got to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Because I will send you out to fish for people. Making disciples is part of the calling and the following. It's not separate. It's not an and an or. It's exactly the same. It's not a separate step if you feel like it or if it fits into my schedule. I know. Our schedule is pretty busy. Our calendar is very busy. With what, JJ? With meetings. But you know what I really love to do? Catch up with people and have coffees, good coffees and good chats. Part of discipleship. All right, let's have some fun. Is it right if we have some fun?
Yes.
Okay, only the front row. So yeah, guys at the back, is it good to have fun? I see your hand. Oh, I see your hand. Great. All right, I grew up fishing. I love fishing, all right? I was with my parents. We used to go fishing. My grandparents, my grandpa, granny used to go fishing as well. My oma, opa, they used to go fishing as well. My dad has the amazing stories about tiger fishing on the Kariba, on the Zambezi, and how big. And I mean, those teeth are, you think shark teeth are vicious. Those teeth are vicious. But anyway, besides the point. So I'm sitting in the hot sun in Zimbabwe catching fish because that's where I was born. Those of you who didn't know that, that's where I grew up. And I love catching fish with my family, with my mom and dad. That has seemed to filter down into our family because the boys love fishing. Our boys really enjoy fishing. I mean, Edward says, phones us the other day. He goes, oh, I've got a dent in my bank account. I'm like, oh, really? I'm thinking, okay, what have you done, son? He goes, I went and bought fishing gear. He told me the amount. It's eye-watering. I'm like, can you spend so much on a fishing rod, son? Praise Jesus, he's got his own job. I don't have to pay for it. That was another thought. Anyway, so Jay, those of you who have noticed, he's not around at the moment because he's on holiday with friends, or he was on holiday with friends in Fraser Island. And he sends me this text message. Okay, so this is in Afrikaans. So if any South Africans here who speak the Tol, you can understand it. But I've translated for you. So he says, right, he says, I'm going fishing, Papa. And I said, as all parents ask, and as anybody asks when people say, I've been fishing, you ask the question, did you catch anything? Yeah? Am I right? All right, maybe you guys don't fish, but that's what we normally do, yeah? So his answer is this, yes, but it got away before I could get it out of the water. Now that's a general saying. Oh, did you go fishing? Yes. Oh, did you catch anything? Oh, yeah, but it got off the hook before, or it hacked on the reed and the fish got off. There's always an excuse. My son gives me the same excuse. If you have a look at the emoji there, my response is a smiley face. I'm going, yes, son, I use that one as well. He comes back the very next day. He says, but we're going later tonight and tomorrow morning. And Papa's response is, as any good father, is a good old thumbs up. Yes, son, good. I support you. You go and enjoy your fishing, yeah? Anyway, we don't speak to him for some time. And then he FaceTimes us, which he doesn't normally FaceTime us. He normally gives us a call, yeah, or sends us a text message. You know what these Gen Zs, X, Ys, and all of them just text messages. I'm like, phone the person. Anyway, he FaceTimes. I'm like, how precious he's FaceTiming us. This is so cool. I love you, son. So good to see your little face. He goes, I just want to share something with you. Uh-huh. That was my response. I'm like, holy dooly. Who caught that? He goes, me, Papa. I caught it. He said, and then he brags. He goes, look at the rod that I caught it with. In other words, he's like, my skills was really good because it's a small rod with very thin line and I brought in this monster. And I'm going, yeah, because it's FaceTime, yeah? He see my expression. I'm going, yeah, this is really good, son. I'm really, really proud of you. But my actual response, which he wasn't aware of, was like this. Green with envy, like, why? Because his papa has not caught a fish that big out of the sea, ever. So my son is leading the way. One to Jay, zero to Papa. I'm like, not that there's any competition here. All right. So what's your point, Pastor? I have a point. This is my point. As a fisherman, the fish is the true proof of the fisherman. It's a true proof of you fishing. As a fisherman, the fish is the true proof of you fishing. So coming out of that rabbit hole of him catching this big, big monster of a fish, here's my thing. Every follower of Jesus is called to follow Jesus and be fishers of men. In today's language, that means make disciples. So my question is, if you're not fishing, are you really following? You see, because your fish, what did I say, is your true proof. And here's scripture, John 15:18 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Showing yourselves, the evidence, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Bear much fruit is you show, through bearing fruit, you are showing yourself to be his disciples. The fruit refers to the visual, the visible evidence of a transformed life. The fruit is the evidence of somebody truly following Jesus, including both fruit that is character fruit and fruit that is missional fruit, which is making disciples. You see, your fish is the true proof of you fishing. And may I also add, you don't need a stage. You don't need a stage. You don't need to have a guitar or have a degree in music or have a vocally voice. You don't need to do that. All you need is obedience. Obedience. Everybody say obedience. Mm-hmm. So why do we make disciples? Well, firstly, it's Jesus' command. And then secondly, it is actually the, capital T, the church's mission. It's the church. Who's the church? You are the church, not the building. This is a building. This is mortar, and these are curtains, and this is word. You are the church. You are the one that he lives in. The church's mission, your mission, my mission is part of making disciples. And we read this in 2 Timothy 2, verses 2. Paul says, you have heard me teach these things. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Quick question. How many generations do you see in that scripture? Four. Paul speaks to Timothy. He says to Timothy, teach these truths to trustworthy people. Number three, and the trustworthy people will be able to pass them on to others. Four. Four generations. This is the model that we need to be changing. We need to change so that we can use this model. My question to us is, how many generations are going to be touched because you are discipling? How many generations in Singapore or Kuala Lumpur or Malaysia or Indonesia or Africa or Dubai or wherever you come from, how many generations of your family will be touched because you started discipling? Come on. Four generations are in that scripture. And this is what I spoke about a couple of days. We are 400 that call Numa East their home, plus minus, all right? 400. But if 400 of us make one disciple each, at the end of this year, we have 800 people. We have 400 current family. And then on top of that, we have 400 disciples. It's 800. We have 800 who then next year make 800 disciples. That is 1,600. We have 1,600 in 2027 who make 1,600 disciples. Only one disciple, that is 3,200. My gosh, we are buying the building next door and that building next door and every car park and everything. We're buying every piece of property. We're going to Uncle Sam across the way and say, Uncle Sam, Fratelli's is ours now. You hear what I'm saying, people? So here's a question. What does making disciples look like? Good question. Discipleship is a journey. It's a journey in helping people move from a minus one to a zero to a plus one to a plus two. It's helping people move, as I taught in the previous messages, from minus one to, it's helping people to move from an orphaned mindset, which is fear and striving and insecurity, to a sonship mindset, which is rest and authority and inheritance and trust. And this is a table that I put up a couple of weeks ago in one of the messages, which talks about an orphaned mindset and the sonship mindset. Discipleship is helping people go from this column over to that column. And this is what discipleship is. You see, to disciple someone is to help them mature in Christ-likeness, which is ultimately helping them go through the process you have gone and are going through, or you have gone and you are currently going through. Because you know what? Like this picture shows us that you've only got to be one step ahead to feed somebody else. Come on. Come on, people. You only have to be one step ahead to help somebody else. You only have to be one step ahead. And I mean, this picture of this toddler, I don't even know if it's a toddler, but anyway, feeding a baby is a picture that I have seen in my own home. And people with children have seen that because those little toddlers, they want to do everything. Yeah? And that's a great picture of Christianity. That's a great picture of believers. All you need to be is to disciple someone is be a little bit ahead of them. So what does it look like making disciples? Helping people move from an orphan mentality to sonship. And then here it comes, following Jesus' model of discipleship, which is simple. He did life with them. He did life. Jesus just did life. There was relationship. He called 12 to walk with him, and he did so for 3 years. He let them see his life, not just hear the sermons. They saw his life. You see, discipleship is not a Sunday event. Discipleship is a Monday to a Sunday lifestyle. There was relationship. There was intentionality. Luke 6:13 says Jesus called his disciples to him and chose 12. He was intentional about choosing 12. There was possibly hundreds upon hundreds. I don't know how they felt, those who were left out. But he chose 12 out of them. I think those others had to deal with their orphan mentality and the rejection, whatever that was, yeah? But there were only 12. Why? Why did he choose just 12? So he could build relationship with them. So he could invest into them. So he could empower them. He didn't hope they grew. He trained them. He didn't hope that they would walk a good life. He corrected them. He didn't hope that they would go and make other disciples. He empowered them. So there was relationship. There was intentionality. And then there was reproducibility, which he wanted to take. What he wanted them to do is to take what he gave them into the world. Here's a question. If you're doing in someone's life, if what you're doing in someone's life can't be passed on, it's not discipleship, it's dependency. You see, Jesus' model, you didn't see him collecting followers. He was raising them up and sending them out, raising them up and sending them out. In the first service, we had Pastor Alvin here and his beautiful family that are on holiday from Singapore. Our pastors, I knew my pastors in Singapore. And you know what? Pastor Alvin came out of this house. But he was in Bangkok and now he's in Singapore. And guess what he's doing? He's raising up, making disciples. We had Ben and Irene. They were up here last week, all the way from Kenya. Guess what they're doing? They're taking children off the streets. What are they doing? They're making disciples. I say this is a house that raises up and sends out, raises up and sends out. I don't want to see this place full to capacity. I do want to see it full to capacity, but that I don't want that every Sunday that's all that happens. I want us raising up, sending out, raising up. Pastor, I feel I need to go to Russia right now. Are you sure? Yep. Right. Let's pray for you. Let's send you. Pastor, I feel I need to go to Germany right now. Right. Great. Are you sure? Yes, I am. Let's send you. Pastor, I feel that we need to go to Africa. Me and my family. Send you. Amen. I feel we need to go, we need to get into Indonesia, China, wherever. Raise up, send out. For 99 years, that's been the mission of this house. We're starting the 100th year. 101, 102, 103. Come on, come on. This is what we want. Okay, my third point. How do we make disciples? And this is where everybody puts their fingers in the ear. Because we go, who am I? Who am I to make a disciple? I look at my life. Look at my life. How can I disciple someone? Whoa, let me just remind you, people. Let me remind you who you are. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of the Most High God, the Most Almighty Father, who loves you so unconditionally that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. You are appointed. You are anointed. He knitted you in your mother's womb. He wrote all the days of your life in his book before there was one. That says to me, he has a plan and he has a purpose for you without any other thought that you can think of. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we love. This is the God that we are disciples for. And you know that person on the tram on the way to work? You know that person on the bus that sits next to you that you see every time? You know that person that when you're waiting at the bus stop, you see them every single time? Guess what? They are also a son of God because Jesus died for them. The difference between you and them is this. They don't yet realize that they are sons of God. They don't yet realize that they are daughters of God. And they all, God is wanting you to help them. Discipleship. He's wanting you. He chooses you. He's waiting for you. I said this in the first service. I need to say this in the second service. He needs you. What? 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 Heresy. God does not need us. God is almighty. He chose. He chose to empower you with Holy Spirit. And he says, lay hands on the sick and heal him. You don't lay hands on the sick. He can't heal him. He's almighty, JJ. He is. He can do anything he wants. He can. But he chooses. That's why Jesus said, make disciples, baptize, teach them to obey everything I have commanded. Because you and I have to do what he says so that he can move on this earth. Let me remind you of one more thing. God is in you through Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in you. Holy Spirit is the power of God. Holy Spirit is living in you, life-giving power. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He goes everywhere you go. All he is waiting for, Holy Spirit, is for you to lay your hand on the person next to you and say, be healed. All he's waiting is for you to say, let there be. And he does it. Because life and death lie in the power of your tongue. You are the disciple, and you need to make disciples. So how do we make disciples, JJ? As Meerkat says, simples. Everybody say simples. Come on, everybody, simples. Simples. Start with one. It's simple. Start with one. Don't wait to be ready. I said this on Pentecost Sunday. Don't wait to be ready. Holy Spirit empowers you to be ready. You see that picture of the toddler feeding the baby brother? He wasn't waiting to be ready. He grabbed that bottle and he stuffed it in his little bro's mouth, and little bro just had to go. I mean, we had to save our kids. Jay would just put the dummy in or the whatever it is in, and the poor kid is choking. It was like, and Jay's like, Jay, let him breathe. Hey, he wasn't waiting to be ready. He just picked up the bottle, stuffed it in his mouth. Don't wait to be ready. Holy Spirit empowers you to be ready. Who is already in your life that you can start walking with intentionally? There's a friend. There's a new believer. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a brother, a sister, a younger brother, a younger sister, somebody in the faith. Start with one. We're not saying with 12. We're not saying with 200. One. Second thing, share your life. Not your knowledge. Oh, you know, in the good old days when Ron Canole was on the stage. No. Zip it. God is busy doing in you. I love Ron Canole. My gosh. Gator bands. I love the Gator bands. But you know what? What is God doing right now? Share your life. What are you saying, JJ? Let's see. Let them see how you pray. Let them see how you overcome temptation. Because every single one of us are tempted somewhere along the line. Let them see how you love your colleague who stabbed you in the back. Let them see how you forgive. Let them walk with you in the process of forgiving. Let them see how you love your spouse and your children. Let them see how you wrestle with your day-to-day stuff. But JJ, that is so exposing. Hello, you were called to make disciples. Guess what? What you go through, they're going to go through. That is a good word, JJ. I'm preaching better than the response, Paulina. Anyway, I love you all. Third thing, use your table. There is a saying, the way to a man's heart is through his tum-tum, his stomach. That is so true. Gigi Mio, he loves food. Good coffee. Come on. There's nothing like a good coffee. Use your table. But you know why? Because meals open doors. Conversations actually break down. Food breaks down walls because it opens up conversations. Hospitality opens up hearts. Good discipleship happens around amazing coffee, great food. Man, do I love a good curry. Man, do I love a good lamb chop on the barbecue. Do I love a good boerewors, which is a South African. Oh, my goodness. Alum. Any good food? Thai. I nearly said the restaurant's name, but I won't because that's promoting them. But anyway, maybe they'll give me a free meal, Paulina. You never know. Anyway. All right. Fourth thing, teach them to obey, not just to know. Teach them to obey. Jesus said, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. The word obey means to put into practice, not just to hear or know his teaching, but put them into practice. The Great Commission, I pointed out, is active. It's doing. It's what Jesus taught. Here's a revelation. The world doesn't need smarter Christians. They need obedient ones. Yeah, that's a word. Come on, that's a word. They don't need just smarter Christians, Joshy. They need obedient ones. Fifth thing, multiply yourself. How do you do that? Who am I discipling? Ask yourself the question, who am I discipling? Young person, ask yourself, who am I discipling? Ask your disciples, who are you discipling? I asked the staff last week. I said to them, next week when we get together, which is this week coming, I want to know who you're discipling. Who are you discipling? Because it's important that we don't just preach it, we do it. Who are you discipling? Life group leaders, ask your life groups, who are you discipling? Life groups, ask your life group leaders, who are you discipling? Let's keep one another accountable. So I close with this. If every Christian, here's a question, if every Christian discipled like you, currently are, would the world be reached sooner? Ooh, ouch. I know. Even I went, ouch. Let me repeat it. If every Christian disciple like you, would the world be reached sooner? You see? Because Jesus changed the world by investing in 12. What do you mean? Do you realize? Do you realize? I need everybody's eyes, everybody's attention. This is important. Do you realize that through the 12 people that Jesus invested into, he reached you? He reached you. If he hadn't have invested into those 12, you would not be sitting here today. I said to the young adult group on Wednesday when we had live group, I said, that's your key to jump up and say, good word, JJ. You're all fired. So I didn't do it. I fired them in the first service. I thought they would redeem themselves in the second service, and they haven't. We will have a chat afterwards. Only kidding. Do you realize that through the 12 Jesus invested into, he reached you? You are here because someone over the generations, years and years and years, chose to be Jesus' disciples. They chose to deny themselves. They chose to take up their cross. They chose to follow him, and here you sit, comfortable, cushiony seats. Hey, Pastor Russ, they're good seats. Air conditioning, warmth, it's not cold, no rain. I mean, here you sit. Church, listen to me. The early church turned the world upside down, not through programs, not through buildings, not through budgets, but through discipleship. You and I have an opportunity to continue to turn the world upside down by taking on our job, commandment, and make disciples of all nations. You see, those disciples, as I said in previous message, were ordinary men and women who became believers. The key, though, is they were obedient. And they made disciples. They baptized them. They taught them to obey all that Jesus is. And now it's your turn. It's my turn. It's not an option. It's a command. But, whew, there's a but. But because he's a good father, sometimes I wish there were no buts in the Bible. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not that good. But he gives us a way out. It's still your choice. Yes, it's a command, but it's still your choice, because in Matthew 16, 24, it says, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants, it's a choice to be his disciple. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whoever wants, still a choice. Although Jesus gave a command. So here's my question. Who in this place wants to be a disciple maker? Stand to your feet. Paulina, can you join me, please? This does my heart so good to hear, to see. Because Pneuma East, I declare, it's a disciple making family. Disciple making family. What we're going to do now, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to hold out your hands. And we are going to commission you, as Jesus commissioned his disciples. Paulina and I are going to commission you as the Pneuma East leaders. We're going to commission you.
Pneuma East, we commission you not just to follow Jesus, but to reproduce the life of Jesus in others.
Pneuma East, we declare you are called, you are equipped and empowered to be multiplied by following Jesus.
You are sent into the world, your workplace, your uni, your street, as a disciple maker.
And we repeat what Jesus said. Hear, Spirit, hear. Go and make disciples.
And we remind you, Jesus is with you always. You are never alone.
Jesus is with you always. Jesus is with you always. Thank you, Lord. Just let that soak in. Eyes closed. Jesus is with you always. We now have a declaration that we're going to say out loud. Everybody standing. Declaration we want you to say. Let's start. One, two, three. I am called to follow. Nice and loud. I am empowered to follow. I choose to pay the cost to follow. And now I surrender all and say, Jesus, use my life to make disciples who make disciples. Just keep your eyes closed. Jesus, use our lives. Use our lives to make disciples that make disciples. Thank you, Lord, for this holy moment. And Jesus, I thank you for calling us. Thank you for seeing us and calling us. Thank you for empowering us through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for inviting us into your mission, the church's mission. We surrender. We surrender. Sure. We surrender. We surrender us all. Use our lives, use it. Use our lives to multiply your kingdom, to advance your kingdom. Use our lives to subdue this world. And as we listen to your voice, speak clearly. Show us, Lord, that one person you're placing on our hearts that you want us to reach out to. Give us boldness. Give us boldness to love them unconditionally, warts and all, Lord. Unconditionally. Give us boldness. I pray for an increase of boldness upon every life here standing. Give us boldness also to walk with him. Give us boldness to empower them. Give us boldness, Father, to even correct them. Give us boldness, Lord God, to send them. Let our lives bear fruit that lasts beyond this generation. may disciples in the future talk about, oh, there was a guy who gave his life to Jesus in 2025 that touched me. And because of him, come on, Lord. Father, we pray these things in the beautiful, mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. Just lay your hand on your heart. Really sense the presence of God this morning. Such a tender, tender presence. He's doing heart work. Father, there's questions. How am I going to fill this in my schedule? Lord, there's even questions, Lord, as to I have no one, or I don't know what to do. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you'll those questions and you'll just permeate them with shalom, the peace, the almighty peace of God, the peace beyond all understanding. I say to that storm in your mind, be still, be still. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just ask the team to sing a song. Just stand like this. Yes, Lord.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Yes, Lord.
To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
Yes, we do, we do, we do.
I surrender all.
Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Sing it again. I surrender all. I surrender all those confusion, all that worry, angst, anxiousness. Give it to him. I surrender it to you, Lord. I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender. Let's sing it again. I surrender all. I surrender. Yes, Jesus.
I surrender.
Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to thee. Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Even Father, the thoughts that we have of starting this discipleship initiative, we surrender it to you, Lord. We just pray, Father, that you'll help us. Help us build relationship, Father God, because we know the enemy wants us to be isolated. He wants to isolate us. But Lord, we say, no, you've created us to be in fellowship. You've created us to be in relationship. You've created us to be in community. I thank you for this family. I pray, Father, that right out of this place, you will raise up relationships that will be lifelong relationships that will last for generations and generations to come. in Jesus' mighty name. Just say, I receive that for myself. Lay your hand on your neighbor. Just bless them. Just say, I bless my neighbor in this time. I bless my neighbor in this time. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Grab your seats. Give God praise as you're doing that. Come on, let's thank Jesus for being in this room. Let's thank Jesus for being in this room. As we finish, we're not finished. Just keep your seats. We'll just go another 1-2 minutes. This is not just a powerful message. We are in a new day in New Middle East. Amen? We're in a new day. We're in a new season. We're in a new building. I declare that this is a new movement that commences here at New Middle East. A new movement. That's why today we're launching a discipleship initiative. Be on, make one. That's meant to be one, make one. Be one, make one. All right. We want a simple way for every believer to say yes to the call of making disciples. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to be willing. Just need to be willing. If you can walk with somebody, open the word, encourage somebody, pray with them, you can disciple. You can disciple. Don't say no, because you are saying no to yourself. Don't say no. He will empower you. So inviting you to intentionally disciple someone from a younger generation, Pauline and I are leading the young adult life group, which is amazing. But every one of those young adults said to us at the beginning of the year, they want to be discipled. They want mentors. There's no better mentors than people sitting in this room. And there's people here, seniors, who say, I want to be empowered. I want to be discipled. Everybody has a role here at New Middle East. So my question is, are you willing to disciple, or are you wanting to be discipled? You can take this down. Thank you, Nick. If you are willing to be discipled or you're wanting to be discipled, scan that QR code right now. Give us your name and your number. You fill out the details. It's very easy, and we will connect you. So how are we going to do this? We're going to see all those that want to be discipled, and we're going to connect them with those people who are saying, I want to disciple. It's going to be pretty simple. Hey, but what about the chemistry? Don't worry about it. God will work it out. We've done this before, and it really works well. You can go to the Info Hub or the Expo and go and register your interest as well, and we will be in contact with you. Right? You may say, oh, I've already got somebody that I'm discipling. We want to know, because we want to keep you accountable. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody on the tram. Maybe it's one of your family. That's fine, as long as you're discipling. It's not, I want to know because I want to feel good about this. No. As long as Jesus knows, because he's the one that commanded it. Amen? Is that good? Are we all okay? Can you wave at me that at least know you love me? Okay, some of you do. Tristan, I saw that. See me afterward. Oh, thanks. That's an afterthought, mate. An afterthought. Anyway. All right. That's the end of our service. We are so blessed to have you all. Can we be upstanding that I can just pray for you before you go? Just bless you. Different way we end. Wow. All right. Yep. This is how we're going to end today. No announcements. We've done all of them. Hey, if you need prayer, come down to the front. Come down to the front. If you don't know Jesus yet, and you'd like to know Jesus, Pastor Russ is going to be right here. Come and speak to Pastor Russ. If you've been on a journey, and it hasn't been a good journey, and you need somebody to talk to, Pastor Russ. If you just need a hug, Pastor Russ. Josh will be down the front as well. Our team will be down the front if you need prayer. Can you open up your hands and receive this blessing? Father God, I pray the richest blessing upon this family. We love them so much, but we know that we don't love them as much as what you love them. You love them unconditionally, beyond any comprehension. You're such a good father. So I pray, Father, that as they go, that there'll be protection over them. I pray, Father God, there'll be protection around them. I pray, Father God, there'll be protection under them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. Right now, I come up against any sickness. I just bind any sickness that is going around this place. I declare that we are healthy and we are whole. We are whole and we are healthy, Lord God. I pray that this family will be known for the health that we walk in. I declare that every cancerous cell is dried up because this is a cancer-free zone. I declare as well that all arthritis be gone in the name of Jesus. I declare that eyesight will be restored, that deaf hearing will be hearing. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are the healer of all. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the provider of all. I also pray right now, Father God, if there's anybody here that has lack, that you will provide for them, be it, Father God, in relationship, be it also in finances, be it in time. I thank you, Lord God, that you provide when we ask. I pray that we will be askers. We will ask of you because your word says you have not because you ask not. So, Father, I pray right now that you'll give us the boldness to ask according to your word and in alignment with your purposes, Father God. Father God, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we adore you. We are so grateful to be sons and daughters. Bless these people, Lord. May they have testimony of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And everybody said amen and amen. Can we thank Jesus? Can we? Come on, everybody. Can we thank?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.